Let me get where I'm going here. Open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 4, verse 33. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this opportunity to study your word together with the Holy Spirit as he's here to teach us and guide us. Show us how to rightfully divide your word, and you've given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We thank you, Father, that this word will come alive in our hearts as we get a revelation of it. Get a rhema word, a now word. Get this in our hearts and be able to operate the way you designed us to. And we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Acts chapter 4, verse 33. You notice, I want you to know something. Good things happen under grace. Good things happen under grace. Grace is the most amazing, wonderful thing that's ever, we've ever known. And we call him Jesus. The Bible tells us that grace and truth came, and we called him Jesus. Acts chapter 4, verse 33 says, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. When they witnessed of the power of that resurrection, great grace was upon them." See, you're not going to be able to preach law when you preach the resurrection. You're not going to be able to preach law when you preach grace. You're not going to be able to preach law when you preach the cross. People try and they get mixed up, but you can't mix law and grace. Jesus talked about that in the book of Revelation. I think it was the church of the Laodiceans. I can't remember. He called them lukewarm. He said, "You're lukewarm. You're neither hot and you're not cold. You're just warm. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth." I thought that was talking about losing salvation. That's not. What happens when somebody is all the way cold? All the way cold to Jesus. They're under the law. When people are all the way under the law, they're cold to Jesus. Jesus can do something with that. See, the law is designed to bring a man to the end of himself so he sees his need for a Savior. Jesus can work with that. When they're all the way hot for Jesus, they're all the way hot, they're not messing with the law. They know the answer is in Jesus, and it's by his grace. What happens, though, is a lot of people will say, "Okay, you're saved by grace, and then here's these 10 things that you have to do in order to maintain your salvation." You know, some of the most popular things that we get told, the guy on the cross right next to Jesus didn't perform any of those. And Jesus said, "This day you'll be in paradise with me." And then when Jesus went to paradise, he pulled everybody out of paradise and took them to heaven. Amen? All he could do is call on the name of the Lord Jesus. That's all you can do is call on the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, these other things, you know, reading your Bible, praying, fasting, tithing, operating in love, going out in the community, spreading the gospel, those are great things. They're not needful to salvation. And they're not going to get you to heaven. They're not going to keep you out of heaven if you don't do them, but they're not going to get you there any faster if you do. Amen? But there is a quality of life that gets added to you when you do these things. See, you're not going to just kind of skip through life. This is about a victorious life. Everything that Jesus did for us is so we could have a victorious life. Now, over here to Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16 says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, But by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. You want to frustrate grace? Try to earn something that's been freely given to you. That's the fastest way to frustrate grace. Is try to be good enough to deserve something that you've already got. Amen? You've already been made good enough by the blood of Jesus. Now look over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." Do you notice a little theme here now? We're identifying with Christ when we find these things in the Bible. See, a little bit ago in Galatians, we found out we died on the cross. We were in Christ. Right here it says we've been raised together with him and seated at the right hand of God. See, your old man died. You got quickened together with Christ. You got made alive in Christ. The real you is your spirit. And it's been made alive with Christ. Amen? See, it's important to identify with Christ. Identify with Jesus all the way through this as many times, as often as you can. Find these little tidbits in there and identify. Say, that's me. Now I'm seated at the right hand of God. Amen? Now, go over to Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 103. We covered this verse last Sunday, but this is part of the whole grace thing. Psalms chapter 103, verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle." See, David was talking to himself. See, God told Joshua, in Joshua chapter 1, I believe it's verse 8, he said, to meditate on my word day and night. It's not about the memorization. It's about the meditating and get it in your heart. Get it in your heart so you can speak it forth in faith. You meditate on his word. Make it a part of you so he has something to say. You know, Jesus had an answer for Satan. When Satan tempted him, he said, "It is written." And he didn't have five chapters he spoke to him, he had a couple verses. You know, you can do as much damage. You can probably do more damage with two verses that you have a revelation of than you can with five chapters that you have no idea of. Amen? You get a revelation of a verse? How do you do that? By meditating on it. Getting it in your heart. Getting it in your ears. Getting it in your mouth. Getting it in your ears. Getting it in your heart. Getting it in your mouth. Getting it in your ears. Getting it in your heart. Just like a cow regurgitates hay. Chews it up till it goes through seven stomachs. And then it's done what it needs to do. You speak that word out. And you keep hearing it over and over and over. Just keep doing it. Amen? Walk around talking to yourself. We need to get the human effort out of the way. Let the grace of God have His way. It's frustrating to people. I can see it. They can't understand that they have to sit down. Do what the occasion requires. But you have to let God be God in your life. Amen? Do what the occasion requires and let Him be God in your life. Receive of His mercy and grace. John chapter 8, verse 11. This is a key part of this whole deal. John chapter 8, verse 11. She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." This woman, they grabbed her and threw her down before Jesus. And they said, according to the law, she could be stoned for adultery. And Jesus wrote something in the sand. I don't know what he wrote in that sand, but they all shut up. And they went away. And Jesus said, "Where are those that accuse you, that condemn you?" He said, "None. There's none that can condemn you." He said, "I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more." He got to get this. He did it in that particular order for a reason. "I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more." It'd be different if he said, "Go and sin no more. I don't condemn you." Then it would be, okay, as long as I don't sin no more, he won't condemn me. That's not what he said. "I don't condemn you, go and sin no more." Now, because of the shed blood of Jesus, you can take Romans chapter 8, verse 1, as your verse. "There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus." Not mad at you. He's not waiting to hit you with a bolt of lightning. He's not chalking up mistakes that you made in heaven. This is a biggie. This one had me worried because I heard this one time. Somebody actually said that when you get to heaven, they're going to play a movie of your whole life. I thought, geez. I don't want no part of that mess. But God said, "I will no way remember your sins and iniquities. I will remember no more." They're washed away. It's done with. Amen. I don't know where people get these squirrely ideas, but they didn't get them from God. So receive no condemnation. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18. Number one, we're not going to receive any condemnation. I don't care what the devil tells you. Receive no condemnation. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18 says, we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, when you start meditating on the love that God has for you, and this gets mixed up too. Because people say, you're supposed to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your might, all your soul. Well, Jesus said that, didn't he? That's the truth, ain't it? That's the law. Why do I say that? Jesus had to fulfill all righteousness. That means he had to tell people about the law. The Pharisees would ask him something about the law, he'd have to tell them about the law. What happened after the cross? John said, believe the love that God has for you. See, the cross made all the difference. On the one side, it's all about your effort. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your heart, all this. I promise you, you will fail. You will fail. And somebody will say to examine your heart. And the devil will be right there and say, you missed it, sister. You could have gave your blanket to that poor person down the street. You missed it, brother. You could have went over and give $50 to that charity the other day instead of taking your wife out for a steak. It's all about your effort and what you do. But on this side of the cross, it says, believe the love that God has for you. When you believe the love that God has for you, when you believe that God actually does love you, and you get that down in your heart, loving other people isn't that hard. Amen? Sometimes people might get on my nerves, you know, and I've had some people really get on my nerves, and it's, so you're supposed to treat me with love. I said, I'm not standing on your neck, am I? Well, no. That means I'm loving you. You're really irritating me. Now go away. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That power of God's love is working on the inside of you. How can I say that? Because God's on the inside of you. And the Bible says that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. You know, I had a guy tell me that it just irritates me when people say they got born again because they love God so much. You know, you're not capable of that until you get born again. You're not capable of agape love until you get the life of God on the inside of you. You get Jesus in there. That's when you're capable of true agape love. Amen? Now, go to Genesis chapter 22, verse 2. Genesis chapter 22, verse 2. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Isaac, that's the promised child. That's the dream child. That's the one they've been waiting on for a long time. And God promised Abraham, said, your descendants are going to be like the stars in the sky. Look up there and count them if you can. And here is Isaac, the promised child. And God's telling him, take him up this mountain and sacrifice him. You know, the hardest thing we can do is to let go and let God. And say, well, okay. Let's roll with it. Let's just go. Now look up here at verse 12, that same chapter. Go down to chapter, or verse 12, chapter 22, verse 12. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seest thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. Because of that, Abraham was willing and obedient. He laid his son on the altar, had him tied up, had the wood there, was going to sacrifice him and burn him. Because of that, we got John 3:16. See, everything happens for a reason, because Abraham and Isaac were willing to do what they did that made it legal for God to do this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Without Genesis chapter 22, verse 2 through 12, we couldn't have John chapter 3, verse 16. Because God cut a covenant with Abraham. And you were in his loins. You're the seed of Abraham. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29 said, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. And heirs according to the promise. But because God and Abraham had this covenant of grace, by the way. Abraham didn't do everything right. He just believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Came all the way down and got Jesus. Our covenant head put us into a new covenant, and we do the same thing Abraham did. We believe God and he accounts that to us for righteousness. Amen. Now go to Matthew chapter 11. You know, I don't know why people want to fight with this stuff. Oops, that's Mark. They say, man, that's just not making sense. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. This is Jesus speaking here. He knows more about this stuff than any of us put together. Verse 28 says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Go to Jesus. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Anybody tells you that the yoke that Jesus has for you is a heavy burden, that's just not true. They didn't take his yoke upon them. They took self-effort upon them, but not his yoke. His yoke is easy. Amen? Sometimes there's some work involved. But his yoke is easy. You get rest to your souls. See, when you're trying to earn something, when you're worried about being good enough, when you're worried about qualifying, you're going to be worried. See, that's just what it is. You're worried. But when you focus on him and what he did, then you got to sit there and rest and receive his peace. You get rest unto your soul. Amen. Uh, Look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. Since we're in Matthew, we'll go over to Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. So, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Now, the Bible tells us that we've been accepted in the beloved. Now, this is Jesus. Jesus was standing here, and God spoke down from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son." Now, what happens when you get born again? You become a child of God. You become a son of God. You become a beloved son or a beloved daughter. Amen? With the same love that God loves Jesus, what, that's the same love that he loves you with. That puts you into pretty special company. You are loved. Sometimes it is hard for people. Sometimes, you know, sometimes people have been through some real abusive situations when they're children and they grow up and they think, man, how could God love me? You know, and they identify God as the same way as their father, their earthly father. And it's hard for them to break away from that. They get a new dad. Their old dad has been fired. They get a new dad. And he's a loving heavenly father. And they have to relearn God. They have to you develop this new relationship, this new fellowship with God when you get born again. And it's a struggle for some people. You know, sometimes people start loathing themselves. They hate their own existence because the abuse that they went through as a child. And they just, you know, and maybe the community berated them. You know, maybe they got berated at school. Maybe they got taught, said, "You're never going to be worth anything. You're never going to succeed at anything." You know, there is some people that hear that in school. Said, even the important people in the community said, "You're just going to be a drunk. You're just going to be a loser. You're a loser." When you hear that enough times, pretty soon you start accepting that. You start identifying that as you. As you're the loser. You're the problem. You're never going to be good at anything. You're never going to be able to do anything. You're never going to succeed at anything. And they have to get that life of Christ on the inside of them and relearn these things. They have to relearn that. Hey, God qualifies me. Now I can do all things through Christ, what strengthens me, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. I can tell you, there's nothing more irritating to the people that used to berate you when you become a success because of the grace of God. And you didn't do it their way. It's fun. I can tell you it's fun. Glory to God, it's fun. You are his beloved. He loves you so much. He loves you unconditionally. John chapter 17, verse 23. I hope somebody out there listening to these little podcasts, are these podcasts? What are these? What are you doing to me anyway? What are these things that we're putting on Facebook and on the internet or on the website? Services? Recorded services? Okay. Oh. I hope somebody listens to these and catches on to this stuff. There's a way out. There's a way out of the pit. You know, maybe you don't get dealt a good hand when you're a kid. Shuffle the deck and get dealt a new hand. Amen? And with Jesus, you're going to pull up aces. It's just going to take you a little bit of time getting in the Word and shutting out the world and forgetting everything that you've been told. Just wipe that slate clean and relearn. Get in the Word and find out what God says about you and run with that. Get it in full gear. Okay, John chapter 17, verse 23 says, I in them and now in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou sent me and has loved them as thou hast loved me. This is a special chapter. This is a special chapter, and I'll tell you why. This is Jesus praying. You know, the most powerful, effective word of faith preacher that ever walked the face of the earth? This is him praying for the disciples. That's us. Who needs Benny Hinn to pray for him? You got Jesus right here praying for you. You should hear that prayer. You should go home and read that chapter out loud and hear what Jesus prayed over you. That he loves you. Amen. Once you know that you are God's beloved, whatever the devil wants to bring against you will fail. You want to know one of the strongest weapons to use against Satan? Get a revelation of the love of God for you. Amen. Matthew chapter 4. We'll get this thing wrapped up here. Matthew chapter 4. Verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's how we're to live. By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Satan tempted the Son of God. He said, if you're the Son of God, I promise you, every Christian on the face of this earth has faced that temptation. Are you really a child of God? Then why did you just do that? I thought you was a child of God. You go to church, you call yourself a Christian. Look what you just did. That's Satan talking to you. Do what Jesus did. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's who I am. I'm a new creature in Christ. And this stuff I've had to tell myself over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. I am forgiven by the blood of Jesus. He got on the cross and he took all of my sins. I have a waterfall of forgiveness on me. That's a rhema word. Jesus had that rhema word. It's a now word. You got to have something to answer to the devil. When he accuses you of something, when he does something, trying to make you feel like right, you've got to have something to say back to him. Don't just try to think it away. Have something to say to him. Now go to Colossians chapter 2. This is the last one, I promise. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 15. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15 says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Jesus is our victory. He made an open show of the devil and all his principalities. He beat him on every level. He thumped him. Just out of curiosity, you know, since we know that everything in the Bible has significance, these different names have significance. You know, one time we talked about the Pool of Siloam. Well, David and Goliath, they had a fight one day. You know what Goliath means? It means exiled, stripped of everything. You know what David means? Beloved. He's the beloved of God. Whipped the devil. In his own game. You're the beloved of God. You whipped the devil. God loves you. When you have a revelation of the love of God, you'll storm the gates of hell with a squirt gun. You will not fear sickness no more. Here's a big thing. You'll sleep. You ever notice you talk to yourself a lot at night? You wake up in the 2 o'clock in the morning, and your mind starts telling you all these things you did wrong for the last 20 years and things you should have done, and all these things that you got to take care of for the next 30 years. And then you start feeling like a rat because of what you did, and then you start worrying about things tomorrow. And your sleep just goes away. You wake up, you get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, you think, man, I'm tired. You're just laying there worrying about something you can't change. When you should have got your mouth in gear and started saying something. Started saying something, amen. Started saying what the Bible says, amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you that your word in our heart produces faith. It produces fruit in your kingdom, Father. It will return. It will return to you some hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold return on your word. Your word will produce fruit in our lives. We'll be able to operate the way you designed us to. We'll be soul winners. Father, will cause a great disturbance in the kingdom of darkness and a great celebration in the kingdom of heaven. We praise you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.